Happy Mother's Day. I'm going to start off with a quote from Ernest Holmes out of This Thing Called You. The spirit within me is God. The living spirit almighty is within me now. Of my life, my consciousness to its inflowing, I open my heart to its love. Because it seems only right, that inflow of love. Because whether you have children, have parented children, provided direction or guidance, smiled at a child's laughter, there's an amount of love that comes from within, and it flows out, it comes back in, pressed down and multiplied. You see, speech allows us to express and it's what we are here to do. It's the one divine mission we all have, the one purpose. It. Even when we don't it with when it's the most important to give it and to receive, be open to receiving it. Because that is what allows our expression to reignite within us. You see, within each and every one of us, our souls have this yearning, a yearning to connect. To connect to something higher. It's why we ask that question, what's it? I'll ask those questions, right? Have I accomplished enough? What else to do? What if that was just a yearning, a voice inside that simply dive in to me? Know me. It was just that and joy. It was, it is, and act our power to just for however short to truly be content of love and peace and joy and lightness. And isn't that what the world needs from each? Lightness, to me, much more like the flowers, respecting each other. The rest of this month, we're going to talk about how to take that willingness. It's always available to us. It's a matter of how willing we are to listen to it. It's how willing we are to find time throughout our days to just take a breath and to remember that it's is true for me, and I'm sure true for everyone here, is that life can become all-consuming, can't it? We can be so busy out there that it seems that we have little space, if any space, contemplate, meditate, pray, go to a book study. I mean, who's got time for all of that, right? But the reality is that when we make time for that throughout the day in small little bits, time opens. And multitask at a more without it. There's a wonderful Hindu traditional story I'd like to share that talks about how life can get in the way. You see, there was a young yogi whose guru left him under a tree by a riverbank and a begging bowl. And the yogi told him to spend his days meditating. So that's what the yogi did. He spent his days meditating. To the village, went back to the tree and meditated. Lying cloth, left it up to dry, and couldn't go into town. He couldn't live with a loincloth that was full of holes. So the next day he went into town, he begged, and a new loincloth. A couple of days later, the rat chewed holes in the cloth again. So this yogi, he was pretty smart. He decided, you know what, when I go into town, I'm going to find a cat. So he came back to his tree with his new loincloth, his begging bowl, his food for the day, and a cat. Sure enough, the cat ate the rat. No more problems with the rat. But now, he begged for food and for milk because he had a cat. So he did that. And then he came back and contemplated on God, and he realized that a yogi really shouldn't be begging for milk. So, for some food, and on his way home from town, he found a stray cow. Took care of the milk for the cat, the cat. So now, well, then it becomes a really dry season, and now he's got to go beg for food for the cow because there's no grass. He's begging now for food for the cow. So can give milk to the rat. Don't need a loincloth. So that's where he's at. All is good. Until he decides he's really got to grow some food for the cow. Do you see how life starts to get complicated? Now that he's got these crops and they're flourishing, he's got to hire laborers to take care of the crops. And he's got so many laborers, he has to hire a supervisor to take care of them. And he thought, you know what? I might as well just take a wife. And then the wife gets pregnant and doesn't want to live under a tree. So now, here he's got a nice big house, a lot of cats, a whole lot of cats, a couple of kids. And one day, he's just sitting under his tree, contemplating God for those precious 15 minutes he allows himself for every day. And his guru comes by and looks and he says, "Yogi, is that you who I left here 5 years ago? You've gotten so..." And on God. The yogi bowed his head and he gestured to his vast seems hard to understand, but I had to do all of this to contemplate. Just to keep my loincloth, this is what I had to accomplish. And doesn't it seem like that sometimes? We're just going to do a little thing, and then we got to do a little something else, and then a little something else, and before long, we're so busy doing that we don't just... You see, if we really truly desire peace and prosperity, if we have a deep desire to accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish here in this life, it starts with being willing to take time to contemplate who we are. It takes time to just sit and listen. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't need to be a half an hour. It can be 2 minutes. But when we do that, when we start to listen to those desires in our heart, and we understand what those longings are, we realize that those longings are what is going to take us home. It is what's going to bring that joy to a place of knowing that everything is all right. When we take that time to connect to our source, we are actually activating that mystic within. Yeah, I said mystic. Now don't get too nervous. A mystic isn't necessarily someone who's a guru, a subject matter expert, someone who sits and contemplates all day long, who is a saint or an exalted one. Mystic is just someone who's willing to sit in the quiet. Ernest Holmes has a beautiful description of a mystic in the textbook. He says, a mystic is not a mysterious person, but is one who has a deep inner sense of life and his unity with the whole. A mystic is one who intuitively perceives the truth and without mental process, meaning without having to think about it, question it, take a survey whether it's right, right? But just knows that this is a spiritual realization and the next right thing to do. A mystic senses that there's an atmosphere of God everywhere, sees that God in everything. A mystic is the one who knows there's a greater truth always being revealed and is willing to have a personal connection to God. A personal connection to God. Who in this room does not have a personal connection to God? Who in this room hasn't spent some time yelling, screaming, and begging and pleading with God? It doesn't get more personal than that. Until we are willing to be quiet and listen within. Because that expression within doesn't need any bartering or any begging. It just needs to be heard a little bit. It needs to be heard only to the degree that you're willing to hear it. And then to know that you're willing to hear it a little bit more the next day. And a little bit more the next day. In his book that Neville wrote, Faith is Your Fortune, he states that consciously when we claim to ourselves what we are seeking, to the degree that we're willing to listen is to the degree we will truly know our mystic power and what to do next. Just listen. The Spirit of God is within. The living Spirit Almighty is within me now. Spirit is sustaining, and it's the principle in my life. I open my mind to its influx. I open my consciousness to its inflowing. I open my heart to its love. It's just that simple. Rabbi Kapper wrote a book, God is a Verb. And in the book, he spent years interviewing priests and rabbis, and all different kinds of deities, monks. There's some interviews with American shamans. And in an interview, he talks about how, after all of these interviews, everyone pretty much said the same thing. They said it in their own way, but they said it the same meaning. It had the same basic, profound truth. That within us, there's a presence to awaken to. And when we awaken to it, there is peace. A peace that passes all understanding. About 500 years before Christ, there was a spiritual leader that walked the planet. And he walked this earth doing holy work. He just walked doing holy work. And his holy work was just to be present. He would walk into a village and just be present. He had no great words to share, no great wisdom so to speak of. That wasn't his point. His point was just to walk into a village and just love everyone just the way they were, to see their beauty. And it got to a place where his presence was so well known that he would walk into a village and people would cluster around him and ask him not who he was, but what he was, because his power was great. And he answered the same every time. He said, "I am simply the awakened one." We all know him now as Buddha, the awakened one. Oh, he awakened to that part within that knew it was only a matter of connecting to the source and allowing that source to come forth in love, without judgment, without fear, without an agenda. Be love. So simple, but we make it so complicated. Ernest Holmes tells us that we as humans regularly make riddles out of simplicity. And it's so true, because we are. We're trying to fix it. We're trying to make it better instead of just being with it. To illustrate this, I'd like to use another story from Holmes, only this one is Sherlock Holmes. He and Watson, they're out camping one night, and they woke, Sherlock Holmes wakes up, and he wakes up Watson. He says, "Watson, look up, what do you see?" And Watson says, "I see a million stars." And Holmes says, "What does that tell you?" Watson says, "Well, astronomically, it tells me that there's millions of galaxies, potentially millions and billions of planets that we know nothing about. On another level, it tells me that God and his universe are infinite." Watson's feeling very proud of himself at this point, and he says, "Sherlock, what does this all tell you?" Sherlock says, "Someone stole our tent." It's all so simple, and we make it so complicated. Invite us to take a day like this, a day like Mother's Day, and just sort of keep it simple and focus on the love that will bring the joy, that will take us to that place of knowing how powerful we truly are. How just us being who we are changes lives. Just being who we are. The Father within me that dwelleth, he does the work. That's what the great master teacher Jesus stated. We're not doing the work. We just think we're doing the work. And we all go there, right? There was a time when I was unemployed, and I was so busy doing all the work. It was like I had a job and a half just looking for a job. And I went to my mentor, Dr. Jane Claypool, and I was like totally stressed out. I was like, I can't wait to get a job so I can relax and like have a day off, right? Have you ever felt that way? I can't wait to just get this all behind me so I can breathe. Well, here's the wise words she gave me. She said, "Is the worst thing that could happen to you now. If, let's just say, a job never shows up, what is the worst thing that could happen?" I'm like, "Well, I lose my house. I live in my sister's basement." That's the worst thing that could happen to me. She's like, "Okay, how bad would that be?" And I got to thinking about it. It's not a bad basement. It's not. Her next question was, so what would, if you were counseling someone, if you were talking to a friend who was looking for a job, what would you suggest? How many hours a day do you think you could productively look for a job? I'm like, probably about 4. And here's sort of the goals I'd put in those 4. So she said, so just for the next 2 weeks, try that. Just do that. And then commit, set an intention to spend 4 hours doing something that you love. Something that you love. Just do 4 hours of that every day. I thought, that was 4 hours. That's just so foolish. But I committed to do it for 2 weeks. Little did I know, looking back, those were not 4 hours of foolish do what you love. Those were 4 hours of listening to within. Those were 4 hours of allowing God to do the heavy lifting. Those were 4 hours that I was taking as selfish pleasure. It was not selfish pleasure. It was required space for the universe to really, really work. 2 weeks later, I was employed. Every napkin in my house had been ironed, every drawer cleaned. And I was employed. You see, when we take time for spiritual work, it doesn't have to necessarily be serious. Leave me alone, I'm sitting in my chair meditating. Spiritual work is whatever makes your heart sing. It's why we talk so much around here about being of service. When we are doing what makes our heart sing, it's allowing the love to flow out of us. And as that love flows out, there's room for more good than we'll ever be able to comprehend, create through our busy work. So much more. But it requires us to get quiet. In our meditation this morning, I quoted Buddha, "Let your mind become clear like a forest pond." The Hindus write about the forest pond and about how at the top layer of the pond, there's ripples. There's all kinds of activity going on. And that's sort of the activity of our mind when we just sort of get doing what we're supposed to get doing every day, right? Get fixed, solving. All of that. But if you were to throw a pebble into that pond, those ripples that pebble creates are only on the surface. And as that pebble starts to sink deeper and deeper, it gets quieter and quieter and quieter until it comes to a place of pure rest. We can get to that place where the mind chatter slows and then the ego chatter slows and then there's just us. And we can do that right now. So join me. I want you to take a breath in and let it out. One more in. One more out. Now notice on this third breath how it feels as you breathe it in and you breathe it out. Quiet. It has been said that joy is the infallible sign that God is present in this stillness, in this moment. God is present because we've allowed ourselves to gift ourselves with some quiet. All the great mystics have agreed that the soul is on a pathway of experience, and that is the experience of self-discovery, that it is the way back to the mother's house, that every soul ultimately will reach its heavenly home. I believe that that heavenly home and the way back is by just taking time to breathe, to be quiet, to be still, and to allow the love to flow. Today is a day for joy. It's a day for love to flow. And I am so honored that each and every one of you decided to let some love flow right here. I really appreciate it. And so it is. Namaste.